This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. It's our Health and Living segment. Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician in the studio with us. We are discussing raising multilingual children, whether it's a good thing or not. I mean, most of our children in Malaysia speak at least two languages, either, you know, English or Bahasa Malaysia. And some of them, you know, speak, Mandarin or Cantonese, some Tamil. So we're going to be finding out how to explore this idea of language development in children and whether multilingualism confers benefits on their development. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rajini. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
We do know that, you know, the more we learn languages, even in older age, it keeps our brain going. It keeps us very alert in terms of, you know, a deteriorating brain function. But in children, is it still the same? I mean, can we make that comparison the same way?
Yeah, we know that children who are multilingual, so bilingual or have more than two languages, they often tend to have more mental flexibility, so being able to switch tasks, being able to perform better when they're tested on tests of attention, executive functioning, and even their working memory. And working memory is important for learning per se, as well as picking up languages and things. So yes, even in children, multilingual children seem to perform better on cognitive testing.
And is there a difference between when you say speech and language?
Yeah, so language, if we look at language, I think the layperson refers to language as both how you express language and how you understand language. In a sense, speech is one form of expressive language. If you look at people who don't have speech, they use gestures, sign language, other nonverbal ways, maybe through facial expressions to express themselves. So those forms are also expressive language, and speech comes under that umbrella of expressive language.
Our phone lines are open if you'd like to give us a call. If you have a question on whether you have a typically developing child or a non-typically developing child and their language development, give us a call. The number is 0377-109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now, what do you mean by language development?
So in my line of work, we look at language development as two parts, really. We refer to receptive language, and that's the understanding of language. And we also look at expressive language, how that child is able to express themselves, to be able to communicate needs, to request, to engage with other people. So it doesn't necessarily mean just speech, because if you look at babies, their form of communication is actually through a lot of non-speech methods. So if we talk about language development, it's how children develop from being babies right up to adulthood in terms of how they express, communicate, and engage with others socially. And I think that that's the basis of social communication, language per se.
So it's not all about being verbal then?
No, it's not all about being verbal, because you can still develop language in a different way if you're nonverbal. So if you look at the children who are profoundly deaf, they are still able to develop communication skills. And even if you don't teach them sign language, they would probably start to communicate using gestures to indicate what they want and ensure that their needs are met.
And so that means children typically start developing or learning language from the time they're born.
Yeah.
If that's your definition of what language is.
And actually, we know that even fetuses, when they're inside, they actually respond to sounds. And quite often, you can see, especially in the last trimester, sometimes when they're being very active in the womb, the sound of the mother's voice or particular sounds that they were used to hearing day in, day out would sometimes calm the baby down. And so people talk about the development of language actually starting before birth, and hence we encourage mothers to talk to your babies and, the more you talk, the more you speak to other people, your baby inadvertently is listening to your voice and to language mm-hmm. and to the different sounds that you make, not maybe specifically words, but that's when babies start to pick up sounds. And as you know, different languages uses different sounds or emphasizes different sounds.
Interesting. So how do they learn this language? Is it intuitive or just instinct?
We sort of talk about babies picking up sounds. So what's interesting is there's even been some research that's shown that when they record people speaking in the mother's native language and then they introduce different languages, babies respond to the person who speaks, or the sounds that are produced by the mother's native language, as opposed to maybe a foreign language. So that sort of tells you that babies are already picking up sounds from a very young age. And we do see that when they babble even, they tend to babble in the language in which they've been hearing. So the intonations seem to mirror what they've been hearing. So in a sense, language development actually starts from birth or before. And, you know, with all development, there are critical periods, meaning if for some reason there's an interruption in the exposure, stimulation, or if the child's ill, stuck in a hospital, it does impact on language development. And for babies, it actually starts right from 4 months, 3-4 months old, and right up to 2 years. So this is a very critical period of language development. So in fact, if we pick up children who are hearing impaired early on, we find that if we intervene, say, through hearing aids or for whatever other interventions we have to improve their hearing, some of them pick up language very, very close to how a typically developing child would pick up language.
Right, okay. Yeah. But the intervention's got to be early.
It's got to be early.
And are there milestones in which we should be looking out for as far as language development is concerned?
Yeah, so broadly speaking, when we're seeing parents and we're discussing language development, from about 6 weeks, babies respond to sounds. So one of the critical milestones is that they should quieten down to the voice of the mother or the main carer. So when that person talks to them, you often find that their crying may reduce or may even pause for a while before it continues again. By the time they are 3 months, they should be cooing, so producing vowel sounds like R, E, U, so. And it should be responsive, meaning that when you're talking to your baby, you get a response through a sound from your baby with eye contact, and, you know, there should be a back and forth exchange. Now, the baby's not talking yet, but the baby has already started to develop two-way communication with you by then. By the time they're about between 5 and 8 months, they start to babble, producing more consonant sounds. But it may be very monotonous or repetitive, so it could be ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma. But by the time they hit 8 months onwards, it's a combinations of sounds that you start to hear. So, you know, it could be a ma, di, pa, du, you know, and it starts to become very tuneful and very much in tune with often how you speak to your baby. So this is where it's very important that babies are exposed to parentese. So parentese is where we're all born with it. When we talk to babies, we often use a higher pitch, more variations in our tone. So not like how I would be speaking now in the radio, but more like, oh, baby, you're so cute. What are you doing, darling? You know, that sort of thing. And repeating certain things that we want to maybe highlight to the baby. So you might want to say, look, it's Papa. What's Papa doing? Papa's wearing his shirt, you know. So the word Papa gets repeated and unconsciously being stressed, so that child soon learns, that's my papa.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's in the infant stage.
But it is true that a higher-pitched voice does resonate better with children.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And if you look through all cultures, actually, you find that, so people say, oh, but the German language is very monotonous, has a lot of, you know, different sounds which may not resonate well with a baby. But when you see German families in all cultures, when it comes to speaking with babies, the tone and variation of tone and the pitch tends to vary.
You stopped at 8 months. After that, what happens?
So that between 8 months and 15 months is when babies start to produce words. Now, we must be very clear that, you know, words that babies produce may not be the words that we refer to as words. So, you know, if you're always showing them a cat, they might not say cat, but they may say something like tat-tat is a cat. But every time they see a cat, they produce that sound. So that happens between 8 and 15 months when words start to emerge. Now, obviously, most of the time, the first words are related to calling carers. But it doesn't always happen that way. And mothers always say, oh, but he never calls me. Sometimes it's because you're the one telling him who other people are, and the emphasis on you is less. And it's also to do with which sounds a baby may pick up faster. And, you know, that varies as well.
How would you know, though?
Meaning, how would you know?
That, you know, the sounds you're making, you know, he's picking it up.
So sometimes babies start to imitate those sounds. Or if you say a sound, babies may respond to you. But, you know, quite often it's not till later that when they start to produce more words that you know that they've actually been listening and imitating.
Okay. After 15 months?
So from a year, 15 months onwards, babies start to link words with objects. Okay. So this is when you have a growth in vocabulary. Now, when babies start to talk can be genetically controlled partially. So meaning some babies start saying words later than their peers, but there's always a range. So we say often by 15 months, your child should have at least two recognizable words in inverted commas, meaning that sound is specifically for that object or that person. Beyond 15 months, there's an explosion in terms of acquisition of words. And what determines that is how much the baby hears or the toddler hears people around him talk and interaction as well.
Okay, so just to keep an eye out for that.
So from 2 years onwards, there's the development of phrases, sentences, refining of grammar, and, you know, by the time they hit 3 years, most children are already asking you questions, have pretty much grammatically correct questions, depending on what they've heard around them, obviously.
Oh, yes. What they've heard around them. Watch out what you say in the car.
Definitely.
When you're not pleased. We're discussing children and raising children who are multilingual, whether it's a good thing or not. We're having that conversation with Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, our consultant developmental pediatrician. Phone lines are open if you'd like to give us a call. Number is 0377 109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 0187898899. Whether or not you have a child that's typically developing or not, call us and, you know, get some of that input from her. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. In our Health and Living segment, Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, we're discussing raising multilingual children. Most of us here in Malaysia speak English and Bahasa Malaysia. And, you know, some of us speak more. I mean, some of us can speak Cantonese, some Tamil, some Mandarin. Mm-hmm. The list goes on. And I think now in international schools, children are exposed to Spanish and French and all of that. So, is that necessarily a good thing? We do know in older age that definitely helps, mm-hmm, in terms of brain function, but how does a child's brain adapt to this? Remember, in my child's preschool 1 year, one of the parents asked, is it confusing for children to learn two languages at the age of 4 and 5? Well, that's some of the questions we're going to be answering for you. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 0377109000. Tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 0187899888. 9899. What are the red flags, Dr. Rajani? We've spoken about the milestones, mm-hmm. what we should be looking out from 6 weeks all the way to, you know, 2 years and above. But what if, you know, they fall short of these milestones? Mm-hmm. So what should we be looking out for?
So, you know, from 6 months, between 6 months and 9 months, your child should be starting to babble and should be starting to pick up consonant sounds and the variety of consonant sounds as well. So if they're only doing a ba 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 for 3 months, that's already a red flag. And the first thing I would do is consider getting the child's hearing test done. By 12 months, a child should, even if they're not saying words per se, they should be pointing to either show you things or to indicate to you they want something. They should be starting to imitate simple gestures, funny faces, little things like that. They should be start understanding simple instructions. There should be a little bit of back and forth communication, not necessarily speech, but in terms of eye contact, you know, enjoying a game together, singing a song together. So it should, you should see all this by the time they're 12 months old. And if your child isn't, I would take your child to see a doctor or to the local child health clinic and raise your concerns about that. A child should recognize their name by the time they're 12 months old. Now, some parents say to me, but what if your child's being called with 5 different names? Well, he should at least respond to the most commonly used name that's being used around him. By the time a child's 18 months, if they don't have at least 10 words in their vocabulary and they're not understanding slightly more complex instructions like go get me the ball from there, and if you show them the ball, or give this book to your daddy, you know, if they're not understanding instructions like that, I'd be concerned as well.
Okay. And is there a difference between what we call language delay? There's a speech disorder, and then there's a developmental language disorder. It sounds very technical, but
yeah.
There's a difference between each and every one of them.
So if you look at language disorders, so again, you know, if I were to talk about a language disorder, I would assume that that child definitely probably has an understanding of difficulties in understanding language and expressing himself verbally, maybe through speech. A pure speech disorder means that child hasn't acquired words yet or is delayed in terms of the number of words that they've acquired.
Articulating.
Yes, articulating. So, but that child may be understanding. It's the assumption you make when you hear that a child has a speech disorder is that their understanding of language is normal. Okay, they're just not able to articulate in words, but maybe they're using gestures. Mm-hmm. A developmental language disorder, so that's a very broad category. Yeah, and it refers to the fact that that child probably has issues with both speech and language, possibly with other developmental issues, like maybe their motor skills are delayed or they may have autism or something like that. So if, you know, I always say to parents, you have to be clear what you mean by my child has a language disorder. And, you know, quite often parents are only paying attention to the words that the child is producing, but they're not looking at the other red flags that may have already come up before, like the eye contact. Is the child communicating his needs in other ways, like pointing? So if those things are not there, often you see speech does not develop. So it's important to pick up the early pre-verbal or pre-speech language developmental signs as well.
Okay, and that would be roughly at what age?
Between 12 and 18 months, you should already be seeing that that child is communicating with you in non-words. So using signs, gestures, pointing. So definitely before 18 months.
Most of us hope and pray that there's nothing wrong, yeah. Dr. Rajani, but sometimes knowing the truth can be very difficult, and so we wait.
Yeah.
What's the downside to that?
We talk about critical periods of language development. And like I said to you earlier, it starts from about 4 months right up to about 2 years. And what we know is that if we intervene early, we see that a lot of kids, not all, do pick up very quickly. It's not to say that after 2 years they're not going to improve, but if you look at brain development, in the first year, it's the growth of the cells. They get longer to, you know, it's like your tree growing taller. And then it starts to form branches from about 9 months onwards, where, and this is particularly true in language, where they start to connect with other parts of the brain. And by the time they are hitting 18 months or so, some of those branches start to get pruned off, because if they are not exposed to those particular sounds or they're not stimulated enough, they die away. So you want to keep that, you know, the synapses from being pruned too early. Hence why stimulation and intervention before 2 years is really very, very helpful.
When you say stimulation, what do we do?
So it depends on what the difficulty is. Now, for example, one of the things that when I see a child with language development, both speech and language development, is I want to know what the environment at home is like. I want to know whether this child is getting adequate nutrition and sleep, because sleep is very important for a child's brain development. I want to make sure that that child's not having excessive exposure to screen time. You know, that's my favorite bugbear, Mira. Me and screen time, we don't get on. So, but it is important, because, you know, increasingly we are seeing that more and more children are presenting with language difficulties, and it's partially related to the excessive screen time that they may be having, and it's not balanced with enough language stimulation around them.
Okay, so are you saying then you can then alter the environment at home, you can just work on nutrition and sleep, and then cut back on the screen time, and things sort of start moving?
Sometimes, and we need to monitor that. If we feel that's not helping, or from early on we see other red flags, it may be that we start to say to parents, look, we get the hearing test done. If it's normal, we get you to start seeing a speech therapist. If there's more to it than that, it may be involving other therapists. So it really depends on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Okay. And when you say we can start, how do we start stimulating at home? Because, you know, we get complacent. It's easy. The television is there. As you said, the screens are there. You know, when you say environment at home, what are you looking for? What are some red flags with the environment at home that could possibly affect a child's language development?
So if you have carers who are not talking or not engaging, so a quiet environment, one that's lacking in terms of people talking around them, an environment where the child is isolated and not allowed to explore. So what are the things you can do to stimulate? Play with your child. Allow your child to explore his environment. And as he's exploring and you're talking to them, that child is listening to language and relating it to what he's seeing. Remember what I said about after 12 months, children start to associate words with objects and things around them. So, you know, by exploring and a carer sitting there talking to the child, oh, don't go near that TV, or don't open that cupboard door, you know, and if that's done repetitively, that child soon learns that's the cupboard, that's the door, that's the TV. And so that's important. So you can imagine if there's excessive screen time, you in TV, quite often you don't get that repetition. So, you know, and you don't get it in that mother's intonation quite often. So it may not, that child may not pick up language in the same way.
Some people would argue about television that they pick up language there.
Children pick up vocabulary, maybe.
And that's
the
difference.
They don't pick up language.
Ah, okay. That's the difference.
So I hear parents telling me, oh, you know, when I put on the flashcards on the phone, my child learns words. But that's just words. communication means your child is able to tell you what he's seeing around him. And it's better when you show the flashcard and you relate it to what you see. So when you show a flashcard of the door, you'd say, look, and like, that's our door. And when you show a flashcard, you are giving a response to that child. So that child gets it right. There is a, you know, that smile, oh, well done, you know, and that reinforces language. And we know learning of language is tied in with emotion as well as the social experience that a child gets.
Okay. What about a child who's not typically developing? What is the difference in the way they learn language?
So what studies have shown is that actually how a typically developing child and how an atypically developing child, the stages which children go through are pretty similar. It's just maybe they acquire it differently. Now, that's different to, say, maybe children who may be on the autism spectrum, etc. Now, sometimes we see when children are more visually stimulated, then we need to use more visuals to
communicate,
to emphasize and to communicate what we're trying to get across. So if I take the example of the child who's crawling around the house and opening the cupboard doors, and you say, not that cupboard door, you can probably do it from across the room. Yeah. But probably with the child who is not typically developing, you'd probably have to go up to that door and say, don't push that door, and tap on the door just to emphasize that that's the door, you know. So that may be some of the strategies that you might have to use.
And and sometimes you're lost, you don't know how to do this. So inevitably, first of all, you need to come and get the child diagnosed.
Yeah.
And then start that journey from there. Some parents are concerned that using baby talk with infants will delay their language development. What are your thoughts on that?
No. We often say, okay, it depends what you mean by baby talk. Yes, to after a certain...
Teletubbies.
That screen time.
So I could never understand that baby talk.
I know, right?
But it did resonate with a lot of babies.
Babies, yes. Well, you know, when you first start talking to your kids, yes, you use terms like mum. I think in Mandarin they use oi oi for sleep. Now, what, you know, when you listen to like how we refer to ourselves, it's usually not mummy, but mama sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's fine in that infant stage. But when your child is now starting to develop words, you want to be starting to use different words. So, you know, sometimes you hear parents say, come on now, mum your food. Yeah, you've got to eat your food. Now, that's okay because you're linking the word food with eat and mum. So in a way, your child gets to eventually understand that eat and mum are the same. But once you see that your child's picking up words, then you should start, you know, stop saying things like mum and oi oi and start using the appropriate words.
Okay, and which is something we don't really, parents don't grow up.
Yeah.
I think we, deep down inside, just want to keep using it. Yeah. Question here from Suresh Raj. He says, my son is 25 months old. He doesn't make sentences, but says single words like car, bird, dog. He has limited exposure to other kids as we only take him to the park 3 times a week. When should I get worried? The nurse at the preschool mentioned that he should be able to form 2-word sentences. He understands instructions very well. So I think he wants to know, is it something you should be concerned about?
Yeah, I think if at 25 months your child is only saying single words. I would start to be concerned and start looking at how else you can stimulate your child's language. So I probably didn't finish myself. I keep getting diverted myself. But we talk about doing a lot of play because through play you actually build on a child's vocabulary and it's two-way communication. Make sure you read together. There's a lot of studies now showing that reading together from a very young age actually improves language skills later on in life. And even in premature babies now, they've done studies looking at reading to premature babies in the special care baby units when they're still in incubators those children who have been read to and they continue to be read to, at 2 years, their language levels are significantly better than their counterparts who were not exposed to reading from that young age. So reading, playing together, limit screen time, and start to monitor how many words your child is saying. We quite often say that most children don't start joining words together if they have less than 50 words in their vocabulary. And if he really has less than 50 words in his vocabulary, I'd be concerned. If you say that your child understands instructions well, be sure that your child is understanding purely spoken instructions and that you're not giving your child cues such as pointing and showing them what you want them to do. So if you want to give them an instruction like, go and take the book and give it to Papa, you're not pointing at the book so that you know their child understands it's the book that you want and not the glass or something like
so
that.
So what should Suresh
so
do?
So Suresh, I would probably take this next 1 week and really listen to what your child is saying and jot it down over a period of a week, because you'll get an idea in terms of number of words. I would probably think about doing a hearing test, because we know that children who have frequent colds, they get something called middle ear effusion. So there's a buildup of fluid in the middle ears that can also affect hearing. And that probably needs to be treated so that we ensure that, you know, it's... that's not the cause for your child not picking up words.
Suresh is also saying, why is screen time bad? He says, my son picks up a lot from watching rhymes and, you know, whatever on YouTube. For example, he says when he listens to clap your hands or stomp your feet, he does it. So why is it bad?
Because then he's probably picking up visuals faster than listening to language. It's okay if you sit with your child and watch those rhymes, and your child is able to then follow and pick up words that you hear and see. I mean, you have to understand that there's only so much a child can pick up from watching a program. You are with your child all the time. So, you know, children learn language in a more naturalistic environment. And for all the reasons that we've said, no mothery or parentees, the repetitive use of language and things like that.
Okay, we'll come back and continue this discussion on multilingual children. We haven't really gone, haven't dived into it as yet. You know, a lot of us have our children growing up with grandparents. They speak in a different language, the mother tongue. Your children speak a different, you speak a different language to your children. Will that confuse them? Well, we'll come back and find out. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasothi. It's our Health and Living segment, continuing with Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, our developmental pediatrician. We're discussing raising multilingual children, whether it's a good thing or not. Let's go into this whole thing of, you know, our children speaking a couple of languages, Dr. Rajini. Is that really a bad thing? I mean, for example, I had a friend of mine in Melbourne who only spoke Tamil to her child. Mm-hmm. All the way until he went to preschool. Mm-hmm. And I was worried. I was like, my God, what if he doesn't pick up the English language? And she said, no, I was confident he'd pick it up because that's the language he's going to be speaking after that, all throughout his schooling life in Melbourne. And he's thriving, and the child speaks beautiful Tamil and very good English. Will we confuse them in any way?
No. And, you know, if you look at language development in bilingual children, so they tend to start speaking at the normal age range, within the normal age range. So we must remember that there's always a range. So you may get kids starting to say words as early as 8 or 9 months, and some who start saying words only at around 15 months. So they're both within that normal range. So sometimes we do see that some bilingual children, not all, may start to speak maybe at the later end of that normal range. And quite often, if we look at bilingual children under the age of 3, some of the milestones that they achieve may be towards the later end of the normal range. And if you look, say, at a 21-month-old bilingual child compared to a 21-month monolingual child, the bilingual child may say fewer words in one language, but if you combine the number of words in both languages, the bilingual child should be saying the same number of words as the monolingual child. And by three, actually, they've caught up. And actually, they've caught up in both languages. So you find that grammatically, in terms of sentence productions, variety of vocabulary, and so on and so forth, the bilingual child has got it sussed in both languages between three and four.
But does it help in cognitive development, in social development?
Yeah, so in terms of social development first, you'll see that the child who's bilingual will be able to reach out to larger numbers of people around them because they're able to converse in both those languages, whereas the monolingual child may be only restricted to the group that who understands what they speak. And if you look long-term in terms of cognitive abilities, bilingual children tend to have better attention, better mental flexibility in terms of switching between tasks, better working memory. So this is all on standardized testing, and it's been shown that acquiring more than one language actually helps you in the long term.
So when is the best age to introduce a second language?
So, and it all depends, you see. I mean, introducing a second language, you must understand that that child must have adequate exposure. So if you're saying that you're only sending your child for enrichment classes in the second language, that child's probably not going to pick up that second language very much. But if you have a home environment where there is more than one language, that child may naturally pick up both languages.
Because you don't really have a choice as well.
Exactly.
And can a child lose language skills? Because after a while, you know, you go to school and then mm-hmm. you speak less of a certain language. Mm-hmm. Will you actually lose that skill?
So yes, to some extent, because remember what we talked about in terms of the growth of the brain and loss of synapses. So it's like all of us. If, you know, when we're like sponges when we're young, but over time, if we stop using that part of our brain, then we tend to lose that skill to some extent. Now, the brain can adapt, and in the first 5 years it is most adaptable. So if they lose it or they stop hearing that language but then it's reintroduced, sometimes you can pick up to where that child was when he stopped listening to the language. But if you talk about children who say learn it through enrichment classes, don't use it and then go back to it, they may not pick it up again.
Because you didn't really use it.
You didn't really use it, and you were not immersed in that language.
And so is it ever too late to learn a language?
Not so much, but if you look at adult language learners, they will always tell you that acquiring vocabulary is usually not so difficult, but trying to develop grammar, sentences, being able to have two-way conversations is actually harder when you learn language as an adult as compared to when you learn language as a child or a young, you know, a teenager.
But going to language classes is not a bad thing, really.
It's not, but you need to try and use that language outside that language class. So you do see in schools, for example, children who are exposed to second languages in schools, they still pick it up. And those kids who use it more often will probably maintain the ability to hold on to that language.
So how should families actually set goals for their children's language development?
I think if you're talking about learning a second language, remember that the children who acquire language bilingualism tend to do better if they are immersed in an environment where they're listening to that language all the time. So if you're talking about a family who you know, wants their child, say a Mandarin, a Chinese family, but at home they only speak English to that child, mm-hmm. but they want that child to learn Mandarin, maybe because grandparents only speak Mandarin, but they only see the grandparents at weekends, then you may want to consider having a carer who is able to speak Mandarin, or go brush up your Mandarin skills yourself. you know,
help build some synapses.
So I think that's important when you're talking about learning language. And there's this myth that children who are language delayed cannot pick up a second language, and that's not true. In fact, if they're immersed in both languages, they will pick it up, maybe at a later stage.
So I suppose learning the second language, using the television as a tool to learn a second language or help you build vocabulary, would apply to the same thing as English, isn't it?
Yes.
As in, it's just vocabulary.
Yes.
It will not help you communicate.
Exactly.
So it's the same concept.
It's the same concept. You do hear of children who have learnt language from the television and the parents are very impressed by it. But when they go to primary schools and so if they come from, say, purely Chinese-speaking or Tamil-speaking or Malay-speaking homes, but they've had a lot of exposure to screen time and parents are really excited because they speak English like an American, because that's where they've picked up their language from, American TV. You quite often find that when those children are in primary school and you look at how they speak English then, especially if they're going to national schools or national type schools, many of them have lost a lot of what they've learned. And this is what we mean by learning from the TV. If it's not used in day-to-day and it's not learned in the proper way of naturalistic language learning, they lose it eventually.
And then they pick up how the language in which they're communicating with their peers.
Yeah.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense, actually. So what's your advice for raising multilingual children?
I think, you know, exposure. And don't do what I did in the sense that I didn't continue to expose my child because we don't speak Tamil at home.
Join the
because
club.
Then they lose what they've learned from their carers. And if you want them to maintain that, you know, you've got to continue to provide that environment for them to practice the use of both languages and to listen to those languages.
I didn't do that, Dr. Rajini, only because I didn't feel I had a proper command of the Tamil language to actually get them to speak.
Yes.
And I didn't want them to learn the wrong.
And that's something else. You know, you hear about parents who want their kids, so they come from Mandarin or Malay or Tamil-speaking homes, and they want their children to be exposed to English. Now, we always must remember that children will pick up language the way they've heard it spoken. So, you know, if you're not able to speak it well, then it may not be such a good idea to introduce it, because then they learn it the wrong way. But if you have that opportunity for your child to learn that language, then I guess you want them to maintain it. You have to find
ways of helping them
maintain it.
All right, that makes perfect sense. Thank you very much for joining us today. That was Dr. Rajini Sarvanandan, consultant developmental pediatrician, speaking to us about raising multilingual children on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.